time for Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. For the next hour, we'll get the local scores that matter to you and hear from the coaches and players that make it happen. Now, here's your host, Dave Watson.
And good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. I'm your host, as always, Dave Watson. And on the corner here this morning, General Manager of the Sioux Greyhounds, Kyle Raftus, will join us. Kevin Pomeroy with the Malcolm Park Pride Project. Of course, with the new McClellan Pavilion, the Gary McClellan Pavilion being near completion, we will discuss all that and much more, among other things involving the Ball Diamonds with the Kevin Pomeroy, all that this week in high school sports, and much more here on Coach's Corner here on Radio Sioux. But first, to the scores that matter from last night. And let's get to the thriller down in Ludington. It was a crazy game as well in high school football in the playoffs. District semifinals, Sioux High downs Ludington on the road in the district semis. Last second win for the Blue Devils of 22-16 for Sioux High in what was a back and forth game. No scoring in the opening quarter as Sioux High drew first blood in the second quarter. Chris Pierce scoring from 1 yard out. Jake Davey scoring on the two-point conversion for the Blue Devils on a bootleg to the right corner of the end zone, plowing ahead. He took a solid hit but was able to get in for the 2 points, 8-0 Sioux High. Blue Devils at halftime had that 8-0 lead. Into the third quarter we go, where the Blue Devils up 8-0 and Ludington drove down the field and scored on a wildcat formation play. Jake Plomondon, the tight end slash fullback, would run the ball out from 1 yard out right up the middle. Plomondon then ran to the right corner of the end zone, just getting the ball across the pylon. It looked at the time that John Robinson for Sioux High stopped him for the two-point conversion. He did not. The scoring play was set up by Ludington's big passing play as well for the Ludington Orioles. They were able to spread the field very nicely and be able to get into that end zone to tie the game at 8-8, as it was an 8-8 ball game at that particular time. And then Sioux High was able to come storming back as the Blue Devils, with an 8-8 game, they would, in the fourth quarter, it would be Chris Pierce's punting. And of course, that's an adventure in and of itself at times for Sioux High, but they were able to get a good punt off from Pierce, took a healthy bounce at the Ludington 20-yard line all the way towards the end zone. A miscue by the returner, Jake Ireland, touching the ball. He ran around the end zone trying to get away from special teams players for Sioux High that pounced on him. The ball became loose before he was down. Sioux High jumped on the ball. Touchdown Blue Devils in a crazy play. And it was a 16-8 ball game after the Blue Devils were able to convert on the two-point conversion. Passing play, Davey to Bennett Swanson. Orioles came back with less than 3 minutes left. Ludington drives into Sioux High red zone and helped by a couple of Blue Devil pass interference calls, and the Orioles get a 12-yard pitch and catch from quarterback Brad Mesher as he finds Jake Ireland on a slant pass to the right side of the end zone. Ireland's legs did the rest, outsprinting Sioux High's John Robinson, scooting into the end zone. Two-point conversion good on a wildcat play, again by Plomondon, running up the middle into the end zone. It was a 16-16 ball game. Sioux High, with 1:32 left, marches down the field from their own 20-yard line. A big passing play from Davey to Bennett Swanson gets Sioux High in the red zone. Blue Devils are already out of timeouts. Clock winding down in regulation towards zero. Sioux High gets the ball snapped just before the clock hit the triple zeros to end regulations and would send it into overtime. Jake Davey rolls out to the left from the 5-yard line, throws a pass to the back of the end zone to freshman Callan Campbell, and that connects. That ends the game. Ball game over. Sioux High wins 22-16 in one of the most wild games you're going to see in a Blue Devil football game. And it was a crazy game, but Sioux High moves on to the next round of the playoffs. Division 4 district final is next at Cadillac against the Vikings. Vikings moved on, getting a forfeit win over Elma. Elma had a COVID positive yesterday prior to heading to Cadillac. Vikings haven't played in 3 weeks. By the time they play Sioux High next weekend, Cadillac did receive that first round bye, if you recall, for being the top seed in the odd numbered district of seven teams. Sioux High will now take on the Vikings of Cadillac at Memorial Stadium next weekend. When we know when that game is, we'll let you know. Put it on air and on our WSOO Facebook page. In the district semifinals in the other district, this winner will play the winner of Cadillac Sioux High in 2 weeks' time. It was Grand Rapids Forest Hills Eastern winning in overtime, 28-21 over Spring Lake in action last night. What Whitehall runs past Coopersville 27-10. Whitehall will play Forest Hills Eastern in the next game, and the winner of that will get the Sioux Cadillac winner. Other local scores in 8-man Division II semifinal play. Cedarville edges Rapid River down in Cedarville, 28-20. Trojans await the winner of Lakeland and Hubble and Powers North Central. 2 o'clock kick there today. 8-man D1 district semifinals going on. It was Inland Lakes, Indian River upsetting Pelston. And not a big surprise. Brimley played the Hornets tough last week, if you recall, in Pelston. Inland Lakes, the Bulldogs get it done as they win in convincing fashion and will now play the winner of today's Newberry-Pickford game, and we'll have more about that in a moment. Other games of note last night, Iron Mountain plows past Gwynn in Division 7, 56-8. Division 7, Charlevoix runs roughshod over Mancelona, 52-0. They await the Traverse City-St. Francis game today between Harbor Springs and St. Francis to see who plays the Raiders next. D6, Calumet upsets Menominee 29-14. Nagani thumps Ishpeming Westwood 42-14 last night in action. Copper Kings and the Miners meet next for that district final. Grayling, boy, they have turned it on in the latter half of the season. Vikings thump Manistee on the road. They're becoming road warriors too. Score a lot of points. 49-14, they beat Manistee and move on, and they'll take on Boyne City, who stuns Maple City Glen Lake on the road, 29-28 in overtime. That whole bracket is upset city there. The Vikings and the Ramblers will meet next for that district crown in D6. Division 2, Traverse City St. Francis hammers Schwartz Creek at Thurlby Field last night, 70-14. Trojans get today's winner between Midland and Midland Dow. D1, Traverse City West gets thumped by Granville, 35-0. Today, in 8-man football, D1, Newberry's at Pickford. Beautiful day for football, little breeze, that's about it. I'll be over on Oldies 93 with the Pocket Rocket. Matt Pocket will have the call. Locally in Newberry on 1450 WMBY, Casey Cook will, he's probably pressing his Zumba pants right about now. And getting ready for that game in Pickford, Newberry, and Pickford, and again on Oldies 93. With Matt Pocket, and locally in Newberry on 1450 WMBY. 1 p.m. kick there in Pickford. Gorgeous day for a football game, or if anything outside for that matter. And the Panthers have not played, by the way, since October 9th. Indians are coming off a big playoff win over Ottawa last week. 8-man D2, Lakeland and Hubble at Powers North Central. 2 p.m. kick in Powers. Winner plays Cedarville next week. Division number 8, Bark River Harris, meanwhile. They will travel to Iron River to take on the Wycons of West Iron County. 2 p.m. kick there. Harbor Springs at Traverse City St. Francis. There will be Field in the Cherry Capital. That is in Division 7. Division 5 today, Kingsford has made that long trek to Reed City. They'll play the Coyotes at 1 p.m. Kingsley will host the Flying G's of Gladwin at Rhodes Field in Kingsley at 1 p.m. Marquette in Division 3 at Mount Pleasant, 2 p.m. Muskegon hosts Cedar Rapids, or make it Cedar Springs, at 1 p.m. in that other district semifinal in Division 3. On the ice, Sioux Indians AAA hockey team off a split at Honey Baked in Detroit last week, 7-1, a victory there, and a 3-2 loss in a shootout against a quality team in Honey Baked. Good weekend for the Indians. Now they return home this weekend against Compuer, 5 p.m. today, 10 a.m. tomorrow. Both games at the Able Arena inside the Norris Center. No admission. Bring a mask and watch some good hockey. Indians playing solid last weekend against Honey Baked. That's certainly encouraging. NOJHL minus the Sioux Eagles, of course, because of the border issue with COVID. The NOJHL opening night is tonight. Thunderbirds at Blind River at 7. Espanola, French River at 3 o'clock. And Hearst is at Cochrane at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, Cochrane will travel to Hearst. at 4 p.m. Girls volleyball, congratulations to Rudyard and Pickford district championships there. Rudyard over Brimley on Wednesday. Pickford defeated Pulston and Detour on Thursday. Panthers and Bulldogs will now meet in the regional semifinals in Division 4 for girls volleyball on Tuesday. The other semifinal, Onaway awaits today's winner in a district championship between Alanson and Inland Lakes, and they will set that volleyball match up for 1:30 today. In Division 2, Kingsley blinked Sheboygan in the, of course, Division 2 bracket that Sioux High's in. Sioux High season came to an end earlier in the week to Sheboygan. Sheboygan fell to Kingsley for the D2 final in that district in Grayley last night, 3-0. Those are the scores that matter from last night. When we return here on Coach's Corner, you'll hear from, of course, the general manager of the Sioux Greyhounds, and that's Kyle Raftus coming up here on 1230 WSOO.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have any body to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
He was the heart of your family, and he taught you our history. He helped you fix your first flat. He was the best backyard DJ around. And every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect, honor, share. StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
This just in from the Colonel. Colonel Sanders, that is. KFC is officially open. Now you can find all the Colonel's crispy goodness right on the I-75 Business Spur. Grab the family dinner or pick up a quick lunch in the drive-thru. They've even added a walk-up window where you can place your order from 11 to 8 daily or pick up all your favorites that you order online at KFC.com. Come and check things out. They're open every day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. in the drive-thru or order online at KFC.com to get a head start. While you're at it, check out KFCCaters.com for holiday events and gatherings. See you soon at the new Sault Ste. Marie KFC.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And now back to Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on 1230 WSOO.
Welcome back to Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. We are now joined by the general manager of the Sioux Greyhounds, of course, across the St. Mary's and the north side. The Hounds, of course, are on Rock 101, our sister station, throughout the seasons. And we say good morning to Kyle Raftus, the general manager of the Sioux Greyhounds. Good morning, Kyle. Thanks for joining us here on Coach's Corner.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It's been a wild ride so far, of course, 2020, and the Ontario Hockey League have been a part of it as well, and affected like all of sports has been by this pandemic of COVID-19. Before we get into the restart plan for the OHL, how have the Hounds organization handled this time off from the ice?
Well, I think it's no different than every other industry, just going through this kind of unprecedented time. I think it's just been about, you know, making sure we're in contact with everybody in terms of, you know, our players and their development, and kind of keeping everybody in the positive mindset that, you know, at any point that we're going to get back into working together as a group and kind of taking advantage of some of the new technologies. But at the same time, it's kind of, you know, it's been a little bit of, you know, learning as we go too, because it's kind of something we're not used to off seasons this long, and especially one that started with such an abrupt end anyway. So it's been a little bit about learning on the fly and kind of trying to make the best of it, no different than everybody else.
The plan to come back for the OHL right now, it appears to be February. This is a very, of course, fluid situation. You probably have, you know, not all the answers, obviously, how this is going. But tell us right now where the OHL stands. And right now they're hoping for February to be able to get on the ice.
Yeah, that's been the plan. Truthfully, based on a few of the press releases, that's kind of the information that we're kind of working off of. I think a lot of the details are still needed to be worked out, whether that's schedule, et cetera. But I think for us, it's a planning on having our training camp towards the end of January. It's going to be a little bit of a smaller camp than years in the past. And then hopefully as the CHL continues to learn from, you know, Quebec League's already started, WHL is going to start right after World Juniors at the start of January. So hopefully by then we've, you know, kind of learned from what they've been doing and kind of hit the ground running. And it's going to be a little bit of a shorter season than usual. But at the same time, every other team's going to be in the same boat in our league. So we got to kind of, you know, hit the ground running, as I said, and be ready for that.
You mentioned with the other two leagues starting in the Western League and the Quebec League before the OHL, and you know, you answered a question I had to a degree, and that is it gives you a little bit of a roadmap, doesn't it, though, being the last one out of the gate?
Yeah, I think it does, hopefully on kind of on a big stage. But at the same time, each area, no different in, you know, whether different countries or whatever it might be, is kind of handling kind of COVID in different ways. So I think for us, it's going to be learning kind of more so on, you know, some of the hockey side of things from the other leagues. And at the same time, hopefully we can kind of put those protocols in place for us, and then we can kind of get off and have the safest environment for our players and staff.
I was reading some of the rules, and one of them is involving players coming back, and that is import players and American players, correct me if I'm wrong here, Kyle, report by January 8th for quarantine purposes, and that will be done as carefully as possible, of course, as we know with the border shut down and all that hullabaloo over that.
Yeah, obviously, it doesn't matter if the players are kind of student-athletes or, you know, any traveler, you know, they're going to be under the same guidelines that are in Canada, that they'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks. I think with us, interestingly enough, our import players look like they're penciled into play for the Czech Republic at the World Juniors. So potentially they could have already been in the country for, you know, upwards of 6 weeks. So that's something to kind of look at on our side of it. But at the same time, I think we're going to try and get a lot of our, you know, American and European players in it. And so that smooth transition can happen, whether that's quarantine for 2 weeks still stands at that point, then we'll have them ready for training camp. Because I think, you know, those are guidelines set by health officials. So at the same time, we have to kind of work within those and make it a safe environment for everybody on our club.
Kyle Raftus joining us here on Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. I'm your host, Dave Watson. Kyle is the general manager, of course, of the Sioux Greyhounds. And, you know, you look at this, Kyle, the main focus and that really made national news, even in the United States. ESPN had a headline on it with the OHL, and that is no body checking. The casual hockey fan may be like, how will that work?
Yeah, no question. I think the headline was obviously grabbed. I think a day or two later, the premier in our province came forward and said no decision had been made on that. And he'd like to see the OHL hockey come back with contact and as regular as possible. So I think until we kind of get a little bit better understanding from health officials on what the regulations are going to be, I think we're kind of, our mindset is that we're going to be returning as usual. And at the same time, if something changes, then we'll have to do that. Right now, for our planning purposes, we figure that if we're returning to play this year, that it's going to be the same rules as previously. In terms of what's going on in the game, obviously there's going to be different protocols in terms of other things, but at the same time, rules-wise, I don't see there's going to be much change. But at the same time, there's still 3 months to go, and we'll have to see how things trend.
Do you think that played a role along with the fact of where we're at with this virus, number one, but why the pushback to February, give it a little bit more time, you know, so we can try to get hockey as normalized as possible as far as what you see on the ice?
Yeah, I think, you know, I wasn't involved in those discussions, but I'm sure, you know, just from our general manager's calls, it seemed like, you know, the league officials are working with government officials and health officials, and everybody's kind of trying to plan out a plan of getting everybody back to kind of what is, you know, quote unquote, a normal return. And at the same time, with, you know, the more time it seems to be of studying the virus and getting a better understanding of how things are, you know, transpiring throughout the province, I think is the more time hopefully gives us the best information to make decisions. So I think that has to, you know, definitely play a factor in it.
And I know everybody has a different opinion on this, you know, from a Canadian point of view to an American or whatever, but, you know, we had the Michigan High School Athletic Association Executive Director Mark Ewell on this show about a month ago, and you know, he made some interesting points, and one of them being, you know, talking about football, you know, and of course close contact like hockey. And he said, and there was a lot of discussion of bringing football back, and they ended up doing that in Michigan, as they did a good part of the country. But at the same time, he said, listen, he says, we're finding the positives aren't on the football field. The positive tests are coming, as he referred to them, as fifth quarter parties, you know, as far as when people intermingle in no social distancing. He says the players on the field, we're not seeing it. And that's been the case all the way across things for the most part. Is it's been, you know, the socializing outside of it, and how they determine that, I don't know. But I would have to think, you know, hockey's very similar, you know, as far as football when you look at close contact.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, there's lots of things still to be learned on, you know, kind of transmitting. And I think a lot of it, you know, with the schools open here in Ontario and everything kind of trending that way, I think a lot of, you know, people are getting a lot more information, especially with the age group, on how things are kind of transpiring. But definitely, I think it's the more information you can gather, like anything, the better for this, because I think in a lot of ways, people other than myself are going to make a lot of these decisions. So I think it's something that we have to make sure that we have the best information at that time, and kind of make sure that we can return these guys to a safe environment, not just while they're on the ice playing, but as they get away from the rinks too, because I think that's, you know, a big part of it, to your point.
You know, this isn't an answer that you have here either, but of course the one question everybody asks is what happens with the American OHL teams, and I'm sure that's part of the big discussion as well, and again, part of pushing it back to February with Erie, Flint, and Saginaw, you know, and those are teams that intermingled into the OHL. Flint and Saginaw, the Hounds see quite a bit of during the course of a regular season, but you know, the 40-game schedule that they've talked about will look a lot different. But I'm sure that's a discussion too, is how, you know, do we mix in the three USA teams in the OHL?
Yeah, no question. I think the border, you know, being closed at this point makes that discussion and even hypotheticals pretty difficult for me to kind of speak on. But I think at the same time, you know, I haven't seen a copy of our schedule at this point. They're still kind of working through that side of it. But at the same time, I think you're going to see a lot more games in inter-region play. So, you know, I'm not sure what that's going to look like at the end of the day, but I don't think there's going to be as much kind of cross-province travel for all teams. So, you know, a team like ourselves probably isn't going to be venturing too far into kind of some of the East Division play or, you know, anything like that. So I'm sure it's going to affect something similar in the U.S. side. But I don't think there's been any decision one way or the other on what those divisions are going to look like just yet. And I think that's something they're hoping to put together the next little bit.
Attendance at these games, if any, still in question, won't be full crowds, as we expect that will be the case of no full crowds, obviously. But the 40-game schedule, then, of course, as well put in there. But Let me ask this, as far as I did see, you did have a policy for the season ticket holders this year that I saw on your site, as far as they can get refunds and things of that nature. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're kind of at this point, we're not exactly sure on what the attendance, you know, what we're going to be allowed to do on that part of it. So we're trying to kind of keep an open mind on it. Obviously, we want to have crowds there if that's going to be allowed. But at the same time, we're kind of trying to work through it with our season ticket holder, because that's a big part of our fan base and big part of our support as well, too. So we're trying to do our best with that and with the information we have. And as things come along, and Matt in our office does a great job in kind of keeping everybody up to speed on those updates. And we're trying to kind of, to use your term you used earlier, kind of keep up with this fluid information and kind of make sure that everyone's up to date. So if it's kind of a situation where we can't have every season ticket holder, and we're working through kind of different things that we can do on that side of it to make sure that, you know, either it's a refund or we can kind of work something out down the line type thing. So I think it's going to be something that we're not, you know, we're trying to keep in communication about it, but at the same time, it's not exactly like there's anything firm kind of coming to us. So we're hopeful that as it kind of transpires over the next couple of months, we'll get a little bit more information, and then maybe it's kind of more so broken down to, you know, how it is in your kind of area geographically type thing. So we'll see how it kind of transpires. We haven't made any decisions or been told anything on that side of it just yet.
When the OHL gets going, the hope, as we stated, Kyle, in February, a 40-game schedule, then I would imagine, obviously, a postseason. Will that look differently, or is that still obviously part of the questions going on?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a shorter playoff season. They're not going to bring the traditional 16 teams in, so it's going to look more like kind of eliminating that first round and jumping right into the second round. So you're going to see kind of eight teams, four on each side, kind of get a little bit of experience on that side of it. So definitely going to be a little bit of a different one, and something that I think puts a little bit more pressure on our season, because it's not going to be something where you can kind of be slow out of the gate or really kind of, you know, get your feet under you. It's going to be something that with only half the teams getting in this year, there's not going to be as much room for error. So I think that's going to play a big factor on, you know, the start of the season. Not to mention that, you know, in a lot of other years, our players report in August and we don't start our season until the end of September. You kind of get a couple exhibition games sprinkled throughout that month. Whereas this year it's going to be, you know, players are reporting at the end of January and we're jumping right into things in February 4th. So it's not going to be as much time to kind of play around with different combos or chemistry or whatever it might be. So I think that's going to put a lot of pressure on every organization, and in terms of our coaching staff and development people, in terms of, and finding kind of those fits really very quickly without a whole lot of game reps.
One report I have seen of the possibility of the Memorial Cup being held June 17th to the 27th. And in the report, I saw Sault Ste. Marie as a possibility, as well as Oshawa. Obviously, that's a long ways away.
Yeah, correct. We, in a regular year, we would be doing a presentation and a bid on the Memorial Cup, usually around that April, May timeline. We have not done any of that up to this point, and they've kind of narrowed the field down to Oshawa and ourselves in terms of hosting this year, but we don't have any kind of more information from that. So fingers crossed that we can kind of get through those, you know, next steps in the bid process in the next month or so, and kind of get a little bit better understanding how the year is going to play out, because definitely that changes things on a team building side of things, not to mention on a, you know, a planning side of it for kind of our business ops side too. So it's an exciting thing for us. Unfortunately, it's a year that's so up in the air, so we haven't had that time to enjoy it. But at the same time, we're definitely excited about it.
I know there's been, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, someone was mentioning to me a few upgrades at the GFL Memorial Gardens, which, in my opinion, it's been a couple of years since I've seen a Hounds game. I think the last time you guys went real deep, I was at Game 7 when they beat Kitchener. But that's a beautiful facility, and upgrades will just help make it even look more gorgeous and a perfect venue for a potential Memorial Cup.
Definitely. I think it was in an added feature for the Memorial Cup side of it. But at the same time, I think a lot of our planning in terms of the new Jumbotron, the new lighting system, it just kind of give it a little bit of a fresh look, just because we know how fast technology now, how fast those improvements come, and it kind of can look, you know, not to say, I don't think the building's, you know, first class to your point. I think that Kitchener Game 7 was a real highlight of our organization over the last couple of years. So you caught a good one on that side of it. But I think for us, it was just a chance to kind of revamp it and kind of continue to keep up with some of those other new facilities in the league. And I think the fan base is really going to enjoy it, because it's, you know, cutting-edge technology that we're adding into it, and I think it's really going to add to our game experience as well.
That's really cool to have a venue like that we have up in our neck of the woods, whether it's on the Sioux Michigan side or a Sioux Ontario side. As we continue with Kyle Raftus, the general manager of the Sioux Greyhounds, Kyle, how does the potential roster look at this point for the Hounds with obviously a few months away from a potential start, but how are things looking for Coach Dean and yourself and the organization?
Well, I know like any off season, you're always optimistic with it. I think for us, you know, selfishly, I think this time, this little extra off season is going to really pay an advantage for us, because I think for our guys, we had a really young team last year. We returned the entire roster outside of two players that were over ages that graduated. And it wasn't by design to build through the Memorial Cup in terms of the youth, but it was just a case of our young players really taking a step last year and that decision to kind of allow for them to get those reps under themselves and really develop. And we just recently, going through the NHL draft, led the CHL in terms of selection with four NHL draft picks in that those first 2 days. And it's something that I think it was a really great recognition to the coaching staff and the players and the work they put in. But I think going back to this extended time off, I think for our guys, it's kind of a great opportunity to kind of take some time in your junior career where you can kind of step aside and really add layers to your game. And I think any off season, we always talk to our guys, well, you know, you try and articulate as well as you can and what they need to work on. But at the same time, we're talking about, you know, 8 to 11 weeks by the time they have some time to cool down at the end of the season and get revamped for it. Where I think you've just been talking to a lot of our guys, they've really been able to put a plan in place and be able to kind of add to their game, and whether that's in the gym or on the ice. And I think it kind of creates a little bit more hunger for it. So I think selfishly for us, returning the group we do with that added time, I think it's hopefully we're going to be able to jump through some of that chemistry side of things that I kind of spoke to earlier. I think it's really going to, you know, be advantageous to, you know, our returning core. And I think they kind of left last year feeling a little bit of unfinished business. And I'm hoping that kind of bleeds right into the start of this next coming season.
You know, and I like the fact of, I saw, you know, your roster and a lot of guys returning, and you were mentioning that, and, you know, have some guys with some experience under their belt. And it's really key because, like a lot of sports, Kyle, almost everybody this year, the schedules are different. It's more of a sprint, not the marathon that we're used to in the OHL from when you start the end of September and you go all the way, potentially, if you're successful, into May, 40-game season. Every game counts, and having a veteran leadership group is key, really, if you want to be there in the end.
Definitely. I think everybody that wore a letter on our team, you know, was returning. I think a lot of that, to your point, when you talk about trust and competing with players, I think some of that stuff you can discuss over the phone or through Zoom calls like we're doing, but at the same time, nothing compares to, you know, being in battles together and, you know, practicing day to day. And I think our guys are really going to jump back into it really quickly. And that's what we're hoping we can kind of capitalize. Because as we've kind of referred to a couple times here, when you have a real short season, there's not going to be a whole lot of time to play around with different chemistry or get an understanding of new coaching staff, maybe, or get an understanding of, hey, what the expectation. Everybody should know things once they get back into town, and I think it's going to be up to us to just kind of take off from there, and hopefully we can kind of lead that sprint.
Lastly, you know, before I let you get going, I noticed that, you know, Sioux Ontario lost to, and really, you know, all of the Twin Sioux lost a true ambassador to hockey, and Angelo Bambaco, who a name very familiar, especially with the Greyhounds and youth hockey as well, and he meant a lot to the area, and, you know, that name was synonymous, I always thought, with Sioux Ontario hockey, from youth hockey all the way up to the Greyhounds and beyond.
Definitely, it was a massive loss for our organization and an even bigger loss for, you know, the surrounding area, because I think Angelo just meant so much to minor hockey and minor sports throughout the area. And I think, you know, just personally getting to know Angelo over the last little bit, he believed so much into the town, into the organization, and, you know, being able to watch, he basically sat to the right of me for the last 6 years, and the passion he has for the game. And there's not a lot of rinks where you can go to in North America where someone doesn't see your Sioux Greyhounds jacket and ask about Angelo. And he's somebody special that, you know, was instrumental in bringing the organization to the Sioux, but at the same time keeping it there and really having a ton of pride. And he was something that, you know, that loss we're going to feel throughout the organization for a long time. But we always appreciated him while he was there working with us, and, you know, me personally, just how much he meant to me and you know, that guidance and mentorship over the last few years, I'm going to be holding on to dearly. So, yeah, it was definitely a big loss for you know, the organization and somebody that, you know, really meant a lot to us. So we're going to miss him.
Kyle, thanks for the time. We definitely appreciate it. Looking forward to hearing Jerry and company call Greyhound games on WSOO's sister station, Rock 101, here in the not-too-distant future. Thanks again, and looking forward to Hounds hockey being back, and we appreciate the time.
No problem, Dave. Hopefully next time we're talking about upcoming games here shortly. So I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully you can get this border open and get everything kind of getting back to feeling a little bit more normal.
Tell you what, we'll have you back on in January previewing the season. I think that would be great.
Looking forward to it, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. That's Kyle Raftus, the general manager of the Sioux Greyhounds. This is Coach's Corner, and we'll roll on with the corner here on 1230 WSOO.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have any body to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
And now back to Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on 1230 WSOO.
And welcome back to Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. We're joined by our good friend Kevin Pomeroy with the Malcolm Park Pride Project here in Sault Ste. Marie. And good morning, Kevin. Thanks for joining us here on Coach's Corner.
Good morning, Dave.
Of course, you have a lot of things going on up at the baseball diamonds, 8th Avenue all the way up to Meridian, and the baseball softball diamonds going on. You have been very involved in this, along with several great volunteers at the Malcolm Park Project. And now the Gary McClellan Pavilion is nearing completion. Tell us a little bit more about the pavilion. It's very close to being completed.
We're very happy to finally get this project close to completion, Dave. It's been about a three-year ongoing project from when we first identified with the city one of the largest needs up there at Malcolm Park and started our fundraising. And so, you know, we've had 2 years of fundraising, and then the advent of this year and all the fun things that have happened. And so we adapted and downsized it a little bit and met our budget that we had already fundraised and got it going, and it's just about done.
This will be a big shot in the arm for youth baseball, softball teams. As you stated, all the uses of the structure, from locker rooms, restrooms, concessions, and a central location for the majority of the ball diamonds, up there at near Meridian and 8th Avenue, and just a really big shot in the arm for the kids.
Yes, for the kids and also the adults that use the softball fields. We have three changing rooms where if you're working and you brought your clothes with you, you don't have to go in a bathroom and change them now or change them in your car. There's going to be three changing rooms where you can go in, change your clothes into your uniform and put them in your car and go ahead and participate in your games.
Yeah, Ben, I have to plead ignorance. I forgot about all our softball teams, and that we have all kinds of leagues, men and women, so that this will really be a nice convenience to be able to have that. And there has as well been many upgrades over the years As far, you look back to the 20 years ago, Kevin, since the Losey Field was built, James Field Grandstand, probably many other upgrades that you could mention that you might remember that I did not, and countless volunteers such as yourself involved in over the years, and just a lot of people, doing a lot of hard work to get this stuff built, and a lot of their own physical work being built. A lot of it hasn't been outsourced, but a lot of people putting a lot of their own time in place. You know, you look at it, the span of over 20 years, because you take a picture of what it looked like 20 years ago, all the different things that have gone on to now. There's been a lot of stuff.
It's very encouraging to see the direction that Malcolm Park is moving in. And one of the other benefits to with the location of this Malcolm Park Pride Pavilion is that it runs right next to the walking, biking, and hiking trails that go right through Malcolm Park. And the bathrooms that are over at the James building right now are used very extensively by other people in the community that are just going out, walking, running, and need a place to use a restroom and or to get a drink. And so this is going to not only benefit the Malcolm Park, but also other people that use that biking and walking trail.
Of course, Kevin Pomeroy with us with Malcolm Park Pride. We had you on before talking about the project. Kevin, what are some of the other goals for Malcolm Park Pride that perhaps you have down the road?
Well, I know that one of the projects in the pipeline that the city is looking at is there is a old storage building on 8th Avenue in the corner there that looks pretty rickety, and they have in their future plans in the next few years to replace that to give a more nicer looking and larger area for storage for all the users up there at Malcolm Park. One of the nice things of this pavilion is in its location is we have a lot of visiting softball teams that and our own softball teams that utilize Losey Field that did not have any place for changing, did not have any restrooms. And so that's really going to upgrade the usage of that field also.
Well, and as we know, Linda Bouvet has been real, without Linda, where would we be with all the things that she's done? And she put a lot of her own hours into, have that field built, and she, takes care of it and babies it like you wouldn't believe.
Yes, Linda's been the co-chairman with this project with myself, and then we have representatives from each of the other users up at Malcolm Park, and combining our efforts, working with the city, and it has been a positive thing in the last 4 years since we combined our efforts.
You know, it's amazing, and you made a good point about we have the James Field restrooms and things of that nature, and a concessions area too when they have the Sioux High baseball going on, perhaps especially on weekend tournaments. But I've been driving by there when you would have a little league games going on. You might have softball all the way through, and you have all kinds of people, around, of course, in a non-pandemic, obviously, situation. But you look at it, and you can't have enough, space to be able to have something like restrooms and changing rooms and things of that nature, especially with the amount of teams that we have at the variety of different fields.
When we came together as a organization, we did a economic impact study, and it's just amazing the amount of money once you start adding up all the different teams that come in during the week and then all the tournaments that are held up there from May all the way through to late August, and the amount of people that are coming into the area, staying 3-4 nights in our hotels and then eating in our restaurants.
And it's funny because where we're located too, with the, sometimes we don't have a spring and it's hard to get Sioux High baseball and softball out of the fields because the snow is still out there. But it's amazing to think of how much we are able to utilize it, considering our location and our foul weather we have.
Right. We actually hosted the American Legion State Tournament up here and three or four times, and their other locations are places like our college fields, and they just loved coming up here, a little bit more laid back atmosphere, being able to, some of them camp in our facilities around the town and area, and then to still have like Lauchs and James Fields to be able to provide a quality place for them to have the tournament.
We're obviously biased, Kevin, but it's hard to beat the Ball Diamonds here in the Sioux as far as up there at Malcolm Park and the James Field, the Lauchs Field, and of course Losey and the countless others. It's hard to beat our complex of what we have up there near Meridian Avenue.
You really don't appreciate it until you start traveling other locations.
You got that right.
And then you see some people just don't have any good baseball fields at all, and then other people have good facilities but do not take care of their infields and facilities the way they should. And so, you know, our kids are kind of spoiled when they come back home and they're able to play on the facilities that they play on.
Well, you think about things like, I don't know if it's changed, but there was at one point we had the only infield tarp for the James Field that I think any place else in the UP didn't have. We're the only ones for quite a while. That might have changed, but I remember that was a long time ago I heard that, but that was amazing to me.
Yep. And, you know, our weather can sometimes change dramatically within a weekend. So, you know, you have to have that type of equipment to be able to get through a weekend tournament with weather.
Well, it sounds like great things are happening with the Malcolm Park project, and congratulations to you and everybody involved on the near completion of the McClellan Pavilion. I think that will be a great addition here to what we have up there at the Ball Diamonds. Thanks for joining us here, Kevin.
No problem. I appreciate it, Dave, and hopefully we'll get back to some normality in 2021 and the city can open things wide up and kids and adults alike can utilize the facility.
I hear you, brother. We're all hoping for that. Thanks again, Kev. All right, that's Kevin Pomeroy, of course, with the Malcolm Park project there, the Malcolm Pride Park project here in Sault Ste. Marie, with all the great Ball Diamonds and that we have here in the Sioux up near Lake Superior State University off Meridian Avenue all the way to 8th Avenue, and have some really good things going on there. We'll continue with more Coach's Corner in a moment on 1230 WSOO.